Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the APOP 9 months 2017 financial results conference call. Please note that a PDF presentation for the results is now available on OPAP website, www.opap.gr, under the section for investor relations. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Damian Cope, CEO of OPAP. Mr. Cope, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning or good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to OPAP's Q3 2017 investor conference call. As always, our CFO, Michael Hoost, will first provide some comments on our Q3 financials and the overall economic outlook. I'll then update you on OPAP's progress on our strategic priorities, and we will then answer any questions you may have. Michael, over to you.
Thank you, Damien. Good afternoon, everybody. So let's start with the economic overview. Initial data related to the Greek economy in Q3 performance indicates that it pretty much moved in line with our expectations. Preliminary GDP estimates will be announced in December, but there is enough data to suggest that modest growth will persist and probably accelerate on Q-on-Q basis. Tourism moves strongly for yet another quarter, with both passengers flows and travel receipts heading north in the important period from June till August, which accounts for roughly 50% of the overall receipts. On top, retail sales have still moved higher by 2.3% in the 8 months period, while consumer confidence and investor sentiment are reaching many months high. Overall, we believe that Greece is gradually reverting to modest but still positive growth rates in 2017. However, this can be seen only as a first step, and a lot of needs to be done in order to further build this momentum and reach solid long-term growth rates. On top, when it comes to OPAP-related economic metrics, it is also true that both disposable income and private consumptions are still on the edge, and as such, we need to continue our efforts as a company so as to outperform. Talking about the outperformance, we think that this is exactly what we achieved in Q3. OPAP's GGR for the quarter increased by a strong 12%, while we managed to record material growth of 4.8% on 9 months basis as well. We will refer in more details to the individual segments, but to start with, I think it is fair to say that the growth came as a result of the gradual ramp-up of the new projects. The same applies to NGR, which increased by 13% in Q3 and 6% in 9 months, 2017. Q3 EBITDA stood at 93 million, which is higher by 49% year-on-year. The figure was increased by the reversal of the provision related to the litigations, amounting to 14.7 million, whereas Q3 2016 was hard by one-off cost mostly related to the VLT's arbitrations that amounted to 6.4 million. This means that on like-for-like basis, Q3 2017 EBITDA increased by a meaningful 13.6%. When it comes to our expense lines, we believe that these are pretty much moving as indicated during previous earnings calls. Staff cost increase was close to the one experienced in the second quarter, and we expect this kind of rates to persist in the last quarter of the year, as we have been hiring people to help us with both the implementation but as well of the operations of numerous projects. IT costs also increased, but this is mostly explained by revenue sharing agreements on VLTs and virtuals. Finally, marketing expense, which increased by 17% in the first half, normalized to a certain extent in Q3, growing by 8% year-on-year. Investment-wise, we have already spent 83 million, which mostly relates to the increase of our stake in Eurosoft, the payment of the last tranche of the horse racing license, and CapEx related to virtuals, SSBTs, VLTs, and the IT transformation. Overall, our cash reached 348 million, which together with our gross borrowings of 582 million shaped a net debt position of 234 million at the end of the period. The strength of our cash position led us to propose to the EGM the distribution of a rewarding dividend of 70 cents per share. After optimization of our capital structure, we felt that there was no reason to keep debt in our balance sheet any longer, and as such, this is the main reason behind our proposal. Going forward, we stick to our long-term commitment of distributing the bulk of the free cash flow, set aside all new investments back to our shareholders. Turning to our segmental performance and starting with betting, GGR in our run rate jumped in Q3, formulating 21.4% growth versus 1.2% growth in Q2. This came in the most part on the back of the full contribution of virtual games, which, as you may remember, became fully operational across the companies, agencies by the end of Q2. We believe that sales have now stabilized to what we consider as perfectly satisfactory financial performance and incrementality that on top has paved the way for a new and different audiences in our agencies. Set aside virtuals, following a rather tough Q2 quarter due to the absence of the Euro Cup, Stoiximan also improved its run rate in Q3. Although too early to say, we believe that our initiatives such as SSBTs, which have gradually been entering the market since August, will aid the game's performance in the coming quarter in line with what we have seen in different markets. As for the lottery, Q3 numbers were again on the positive side, actually reversing Q2 picture, growing by 1.7% year-on-year in Q3, and still reporting positive 1.3% growth in the full nine-month period. Overall, it seems like lottery performance has been slightly outperforming private consumption, and that is despite the increasing cannibalization on Kino numbers. The latter is, as expected, gradually impacted by both virtuals and, more importantly, the VLT rollout. But that said, I think that so far for cannibalization, definitely been staying within our assumed range, and we do not expect that this shall change radically in the short term. When it comes to the rest of the games, Joker increased for the quarter, but current trading-wise, Q4 has been up to now rather weak in terms of jackpot rollovers. When it comes to Hellenic Lotteries, the 2.5% drop for the quarter interrupted a streak of positive quarterly growth rates. On 9 months level, though, the GGR figure remained firm on a growth path up by 2.5% year-on-year. Scratch continued its outperformance within the segment, but comparison is now against tougher comparables and its expected year-on-year rates would be somehow eased. The enhancement of the product through the adaptation of the best practices is still what we are doing to maintain players' interest. Last, but certainly not least, VLTs, which are progressively gaining ground in our segmental breakdown. This trend will be obviously intensified in the coming quarters, as GGR for the nine-month period reached 25.6 million, with 16.3 being generated over the course of the third quarter. Rollout-wise, we were standing at 5,300 machines by the end of Q3, but Damian will tell you more on our progress on that front up to date. Performance-wise, you may remember that in Q2 we reported for the first time a KPI, which addresses the GGR of the fully operating machines for the quarter. This figure stood at 43 euros for roughly 1,500 machines in Q2 and increased to 47 euros in after vacation period of Q3, albeit for more than double the machines number, which were more than 3,000. This indicates that, as per our belief, the ramp-up is still evolving and should eventually take 6 to 18 months on a shop level. With that, I am passing you over to Damian, who will comment on our business progress over the quarter and our plans going forward.
Thank you, Mikhail. I'd now like to take you through some of the Q3 highlights and provide an update on the progress on our key initiatives. This is probably the first quarter we're beginning to see the real benefits of our efforts to offer new and exciting gaming content to our customers. Starting with VLTs, and as you've heard from Michal, our installed machines increased to just under 5,300 by the end of September, and today stands at 7,144 VLTs spread across 200 gaming halls and around 700 OPAP shops, with around three quarters of the machines in play gaming halls and the remainder in our OPAP shops. This means we added 2,266 in Q3, just over 2,000 in the last 64 days since our last Q2 investor call, and almost 1,600 in the last 30 days. Given the project's complexity, we are satisfied with the rollout so far, and we are reviewing our rollout plans in the light of the new VLT law, which was passed by Parliament yesterday. As I said last time, the plan is still to have around 10,000 machines in the field by year end, and we feel that this figure should be feasible given the current run rate. Performance-wise, Mikhail has already commented thoroughly on the figures. What is worth remembering is that looking at other markets, notably the FOBTs in the UK, it is not uncommon to experience a number of years of annual sequential growth post-launch. This is increasingly important given that these machines were placed in a similar agency-like environment and provide some support to our view that the GGR per VLT ramp-up still has potential headroom in the future. In terms of the VLT offering itself, we continue to work closely with our vendor partners and have a clear program of delivering new content, including new games from Novomatic, which are already live across our network. We've also now committed to ordering additional VLT machines, 2,000 terminals from Synot, and 1,400 additional terminals from Inspired Entertainment. Our customer numbers are growing steadily, and we now have around 100,000 registered customers in the Play Games family. Our previously stated demographic split of around 25% women, 75% men remains unchanged. And we are also seeing evidence for the first time of some customers who've registered in a Play gaming hall, sometimes also playing in OPAP shops, and indeed vice versa. This further confirms the benefit of the player card as it provides a full picture of a customer's playing behavior, whatever the location. Finally, and coming back to the new VLT law again, we view this constructively and are now formulating a revised allocation plan so as to optimize the rollout across both the Play gaming halls and the OPAP shops. Valuation-wise, we've stated before that the change is neutral as the 8 years extension of the license offsets the reduction of the VLT numbers. In relation to this VLT law, you will know that this now gives OPAP the opportunity to operate up to 15 machines in an OPAP shop and up to 50 machines in a Play gaming hall. However, due to the necessary administrative and regulatory steps required to take place, we do not expect to be in a position to start to increase machine numbers on an individual location basis until sometime during Q1 2018. Under the new law, the rollout deadline for the full 25,000 machines is now the end of 2019, and we are confident that this timetable will be met by OPAP, with our current expectation that we will have around 20 to 22,000 machines in place by the end of 2018. Turning to the star of the quarter, betting, I'm pleased to report that while we have benefited from some favorable or more favorable sporting results, particularly in European football, we've also been able to slow the decline in our core sports betting business, which has long been impacted by the online market competition. At the same time, we've seen a significant contribution from our new product, Virtuals. We see Virtuals as complementary to our other products, notably sports betting, and although still in its honeymoon period, we see the product quickly becoming established as a regular performer, and we hope to add further virtual product variations during 2018. The SSBT's rollout commenced in August, and we've quickly reached almost 900 terminals in around 450 shops. Our plan is still to reach around 1,500 terminals by the year end, and at least double that by the World Cup in 2018. So far, the numbers are in line with our plans, and the machines, both cabinets and tabletops, are proving popular with our sports betting customers. Moving in more detail to our retail network of around 4,500 shops in Greece, it's fair to say that they are busy places right now. As previously discussed, OPAP is undergoing a fundamental transformation of its business and operations, with technology migrations planned for all our major gaming platforms. So far, we continue to make good progress in this challenging and complex process, although we will have a particularly busy few months ahead of us. Our first new point-of-sale tills have been deployed to over 4,000 shops, and these will initially be used to operate our new live sports betting service. Finally, in relation to our agents, we're also glad to report their steadily increasing satisfaction ratings when assessing their collaboration with OPAP. We continue to focus on supporting our hard-working agents across a number of different areas. Digital remains a significant opportunity for OPAP as we look to build from our small base today. Plans for a commercial launch of our new digital platform in Q1 2018, ahead of the 2018 World Cup, remain on track, and we are working closely with our agents to ensure that we maximize the engagement of our existing retail customers. The government has also repeatedly stated its intention to introduce new legislation for online betting and gaming, and we await further developments in this area. The OPAP team continues to expand with an additional 42 people hired during the quarter, which makes a total of 220 year-to-date, excluding any internships. The ongoing implementation of our transformation projects will require some more heads in the short term, but our target is to reduce any meaningful headcount growth within 2018. Our employees in both Greece and Cyprus have been working hard in 2017 and also telling us that they are proud to be part of the OPAP team, as reflected by the positive results from our recent employees engagement survey. In the area of corporate social responsibility, we believe that we still remain the leader in Greece and were recently recognized with an award for our work by the Athens Chamber of Commerce. Last weekend, we were proud to once again sponsor and support the 35th running of the Athens Marathon, run over the original Marathon to Athens route. This year, we had over 200,000 downloads of our OPAP Contribution mobile app, which in turn will lead to an investment by OPAP of over 3.6 million euros in the ongoing renovation of the two largest children's hospitals in the country. As mentioned last time, our focus on responsible gaming activities continues, and our education program is being extended to all employees and agents, both in OPAP shops and in our gaming halls. As for our relationship with the Hellenic Gaming Commission and the Greek state, I believe that we are maintaining an effective day-to-day working relationship, focusing on the combined interests of Greek society, the Greek state, and OPAP. We've been working particularly closely on the introduction of VLTs into shops and gaming halls, and this cooperation will continue. Illegal gaming remains a significant thorn in our side and a real danger for Greek society. We are fully committed to support the Greek state and the Hellenic Gaming Commission in this area, and it appears that this was also a priority for them. So far this year, OPAP has received 468 complaints regarding illegal gaming locations all over Greece. We believe this is the tip of the iceberg, and it gives an indication of the size of the lost tax revenues for the Greek state. Needless to say that tackling this issue is not a simple process, but we are committed to aid the Greek state in any way that we can. In summary, we are pleased with our performance in Q3, which demonstrated our ability to grow revenues while maintaining our focus on a complex set of transformational strategic changes. The rollout of our new products, coupled with our other significant investments, is still expected to generate additional long-term value for our various stakeholders and will deliver our 2020 vision. With that, I'm concluding my opening statement, and we're now ready to answer any questions you may have. Thank you for your patience and your attention.
The first question comes from Mr. Kustesi Iakovo from Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. First question has to do with your dividend policy. I think that this is the second consecutive year that you proceed with a special dividend distribution, and taking into account the fact that the dividend seems generous, should I think going forward, do you plan to consider this special dividend distribution policy in the following years? And should this affect your final dividend proposal along with the announcement of full year results? Second thing has to do with your new projects. First of all, the first question has about online gaming market regulation. I think there is a discussion at the moment in the Greek Parliament about the regulation of the online gaming market. And you mentioned that you have a good relationship with the Hellenic Gaming Committee, effective relationship and constructive talking with the Hellenic Gaming Committee. How would you think of the regulation of the online gaming market? I think that you suggested in previous calls you hold the monopoly for the online betting, sports betting. What would you be your reaction if through this discussion for the online gaming they will the Greek state will plan to allocate further licenses for the online betting? Would you seek some compensation from the Greek state? And in the fourth quarter, does the ramp-up performance in the performance in VLTs continues closer to 50 euros, maybe in a drop per VLT per day? That will be.
Thank you very much. Let me pass you over to Michal for the first one, and then, in fact, maybe first and third, and then I'll come back on the second one.
Yes, thank you for the question. So for the dividend, as I commented on my speech, basically we optimized the balance sheet structure, the capital structure of the company, and in that case it doesn't mean too much sense after bringing the leverage to the reasonably, let's say, efficient level to keep the cash on the balance sheet. That's why we proposed this dividend. So definitely you should not take this in combination with the last year as something as annual policy on the special dividend distribution. This is not the case. So it's just the case of this optimization of the capital structure, which was obvious from the balance sheet that there was this plenty of cash coming from that exercise, and this basically needed to be at some point of time distributed. With regards to the dividend next year, the dividend policy going forward, we stick as well. What I said on the speech, that we stick to our policy to distribute free bulk of the free cash flow, and you can imagine that next year would be still the year, the heavy year on our capexes. So probably the final dividend would be impacted by that, because the free cash flow would be impacted by that. So you need to take this into your account, let's say, for the final dividend. With regards to the ramp up, yes, there is a continuation of the ramp up on the VLTs. We thought it was really fair to show the picture of post-summer period, because this was much more relevant to the gaming market, because you can know that August and end of July is not very strong in the gaming market. So that's why we think this is a relevant metrics to look at. And yes, there is a continuation of this ramp up coming from, let's say, slightly higher from the numbers that we show for the post-summer period. With regards to the second question, Damian would answer the second question.
Yes, thank you, Mika. So listen, I'm not really going to comment on sort of hypothetical situations. Our position hasn't changed. We welcome the opportunity for there to be clarity around the legal position for online gaming. We're encouraged by the fact that the government is making statements that they want to address this in the near future. But I'm not going to comment on what could potentially come out of that now. I think it would be premature.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Mr. Draziotis Stamatis from Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you very much for taking my questions. First one would be on virtual games. If you could elaborate, please, on the very strong start that this product seems to have had, and how this changes the outlook for land-based sports betting, i.e., Do you feel that we have actually reached an inflection point for the particular segment, and therefore we should be looking for a strong growth next year, assuming that the macroeconomic backdrop is supportive? That's the first question, and second one has to do with relates to the cost side. What is the net financial result that you expect next year, stemming from the phasing out of the previous IT contract, or I guess to put it differently, what will the net effect be from the replacement of the previous contract with the separate contracts signed with the different suppliers, please?
Hi, Stamatis. Yeah, I'll take the first, and then I'll pass you over to Mikhail for the second. Look, just on virtuals, we're obviously pleased with the performance. It's a brand new product that we introduced, I think April time, and we had the full network rollout in May. And so this was the first full quarter of activity for virtuals. It also coincided with the summer months where there isn't that much sporting content going on. So I think it was a combination of honeymoon period and not much else going on. We had a particularly strong performance for the betting segment. I think looking forward, we would expect to see virtuals anywhere from 10 to 15% of our total betting revenues, which I think is broadly in line with other markets anyway. Underlying, we still have challenges on sports betting for the reasons I've mentioned before. But in terms of virtual's contribution, I think you could probably assume that kind of level. But in summary, we're pleased with the start, and we'll see how it progresses over the next 3 to 6 months.
That's very clear. Sorry, just to follow up on this, what portion of your sports betting revenues goes through the existing online sports book, roughly?
A small number.
Low single digit, I presume.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as far for the second question, it was a question about the
technology.
Let's say what would be the cost saving for the future, let's say from the transformation. So
yes.
I think we already mentioned it some couple of calls ago. Basically, what we expect is there is this significant CapEx. But this significant capex should lead to the opex saving of roughly 15 million on annual basis compared to the previous situation. And let's say it is not an exact figure because let's say we take a lot of the whole strategy is about taking a lot of functionalities and capabilities in house, and this basically requires a lot of staffing needs and these kind of things that you can see for instance, in our HR cost. So this is the rough figure for, let's say, the year 2019 and beyond.
Okay, so 15 million, you said. Okay, and as a follow-up on that, how has the experience been so far in terms of system migration or whatever you want to call it? Do you feel that this will be, you know, sort of smooth without any disruption after the you know, the previous contract expires or any short-term setback?
Look, I think it's fair to say, I mean, I said in my comments earlier, we are doing a lot of things all at the same time. And so if you actually look at what we're trying to do, we're changing our two core platforms for both sports betting and lottery. We're replacing all of our tills in 4,500 shops. We're changing some of the digital signage. We're introducing self-service terminals. We're introducing VLTs. I think you wouldn't believe me if I said everything was going perfectly, because we've got so much to do. But overall, I think we're making very good progress, and I'm still confident that we'll get done everything that we need to get done by the middle of next year, which was our original target.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Birpos Dimitris from IPG. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening. My first question relates to the online market. It seems that there is a market over there of 250 million euros, and I'm wondering if what is your target for the first year of operation of your new platform on digital terms, what share of this market you are going to grasp, and also if you are going to offer existing products like Joker or Proto through your online platform. So this is my first question. And then my second question regarding CapEx for FY17, if you could provide a guidance for the remainder of the year. We have seen investments of 53 million euros. So if you could provide some guidance for the full year, it would be very, very nice. Thank you.
Thanks, Dimitris. Again, I'll take the first one. I'll pass you over to Mikhail for the second. We don't have a specific market share percentage target. We do think there is a significant opportunity for APAP because, as I mentioned before, our online or digital businesses is very small. And again, for a number of different reasons, but we think that with the right product, with the full engagement of the agent network, we can have a meaningful growth and a meaningful contribution from our online activities. So we will be able to share with you more details sort of Q1, Q2 next year as to our performance, but we think we can have a genuinely strong offering in an area where we've been relatively weak up until now.
Okay.
And with regards to the CapEx, the expectation, let's say, for this, I mean, the expectation for the 2 years period, 17-18, was roughly 110 to 120 million, which we are kind of reiterating. So the split between the years, it's a little bit moving sense, but let's say the expectation for this year, full year, is around 60 million. It could be plus minus 5 million. It depends. It really depends on when exactly is timing of some of the deliveries. And let's say the rest should be for the next year.
Just a follow-up question for the online business. If you are going to offer existing products like Kino or Joker through the new platform, and also if you are interested in some new products like online poker, I don't know if the Greek state is going to also allow the operation of this new kind of products.
Sorry, yeah, I forgot to add that. Initially, we will be having sports betting only because we need the right regulatory and legislative framework to be in place. Of course, in the future, we would like to offer initial additional products, but initially it will be sports betting only.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Draziotis Stamati from Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, again, just a quick follow-up. Could you tell us whether there has been any significant variation year-on-year in your Stoiximan gross win margin, please?
Nothing, you know, significant, no. I mean, I think, as I mentioned before, we've seen slightly more favorable sporting results, and again, you will have seen those reflected in results of Eurobet in Italy, for example, within the Laverick's Coral Group and some other operators. So nothing sort of particularly noteworthy, but certainly more favorable for the bookies rather than more favorable for the punters.
Excellent. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Birpos Dimitris from IBG. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you again. Just a follow-up question about marketing expenses. In previous conference call, you had guided for broadly flattish expenses compared to FY16, but we have seen in the nine-month period an increase of 13%. So should we think that there will be a material increase on the full year basis, or should we expect a material decrease in fourth quarter? Thank you.
Uh, we confirm our guidance from last time. So on the full year, we believe it would be more or less flat like, compared to the last year. So it was timing issue. So you should expect some small decrease in the last quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Cope, there are no more questions registered at this time. You may now proceed with your closing statements.
Just a quick thank you to everyone for joining the call, and we look forward to speaking to you all again soon. Thank you.